Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Friday, February 3rd, 2023, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're at page 59, reading Step 3, Made a Decision Through Moral Inventory of Ourselves. And we're going to be reading and commenting on Steps 3 and 4 today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Alex K., 12 Traditions, Deb E. Readers of the text, Elaine B., Lois P. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Jordan L. The reference number for Thursday, February 2nd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,919. That's 19919. And for this morning, Friday, February 3rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,921. That's 19921. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Reggie O., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. This is Alex, compulsive eater in California. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I'm grateful to do service.
Thank you so much, Alex K. I'll now ask Deb E. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. I'm a compulsive eater. My name is Debbie in Montana, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. An OA group, six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for letting me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Deb E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 59, beginning with step 3, made a decision through moral inventory of ourselves, reading and commenting on steps 3 and 4 today. I will now ask Elaine B. to begin reading.
Thanks so much for your service, Dawn B. and everybody on the line. Step 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So made a decision. I came into the rooms having made a decision about a power greater than myself and building a relationship over many years. But in some of the places that I went to celebrate and learn and whatever, there was always food. And over the years, coming out of the bars and other places, I ate and ate, and I gained 100 pounds there. So when I came into the rooms of the 12-step program, I needed to have a whole new outlook. I had to needed a whole new relationship with a power greater than myself. So I like that it's as we understood, because we could be just starting out with a relationship or we could be building on a new one like I did. But what the decision I needed to make was to turn my will, your will, not mine, be done. Oh my gosh, that's a different level. And my life, every aspect of my life, turn my life over to the care of God, to the care of God. That was the key word, to the care. A God that cares, a God that wants to take care, a God wants to lovingly care. And in this program, we're taught we can choose our own conception of God. And, one of the way that I describe God is all powerful, all knowing, all loving, all caring, all for me, and knows everything about everybody, past, present, and future, and is willing and able to guide me one day at a time, one meal at a time, one step at a time through this journey. And that was a God I could grab hold of. That hand, at first it seemed like a flimsy reed, but then it proved to be the powerful, loving hand of God. We need to reach out to something we can trust. 4, made a searching, fearless moral inventory of ourselves. It's nice to be able to not have to go that alone. We have a sponsor. We have a power that we're turning our care, the cares for us, we're turning our will and our lives over to. So we have to look at the things that are in us that aren't working. The relationships, the beliefs, the attitudes, for me, I learned it wasn't so much what I was eating, it was what was eating me. And I needed to learn to live where food was not my solution. Food was not my source of ease and comfort. But I didn't know what things were triggering me. I know I have red light foods that when I eat those, I can't stop. But I didn't realize that it was relationships with things way more than Ben and Jerry. It was relationships with people in my life, with principles, with all kinds of things. And I needed to take an inventory of what I was carrying around that was eating me, that was keeping me blocked from other people, keeping me blocked from God, keeping me blocked from serenity, peace, and security, so that food became my solution. And it was scary, but I got a lot of help. And my sponsor helped, and this room helped, and hearing other people's experience, strength, and hope helped, making outreach calls helped. And thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Elaine B., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on step 3 and 4. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Irene B.
Irene B.
Danielle.
Danielle P., I believe.
A.
W.
Liz A.
Linda W.
Linda W.
Amanda Mary. G.
Amanda G.
Thank you.
Bonnie B.
Mary Ellen F.
And Bonnie B. And Mary Ellen
F.
Mary Ellen F. And let's stop there. Okay, I have Irene B., Danielle P., Liz A., Linda W., Amanda G., Bonnie B., and Mary Ellen F. Irene B., please get us started.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., very grateful, recovered bulimic from Louisiana. I love how we start into the steps. And I write this daily in my daily prayer. You know, I stand at the turning point, earnestly ask you for your care and protection with complete abandon. And then I go on to say the third step prayer because I want that to be my truth. I desperately want it to be my truth. I desperately want to surrender to my higher power, and I desperately want to turn my will and my life over to his care. But, my natural inclination is not to be God-reliant. My natural inclination, deep groove for that natural inclination is to be on self-reliance. And when I'm not in self-reliance, then the next two is John Reliance. That's my soon-to-be ex-husband. We'll be divorced on Monday. And that doesn't work. You know, I pray and I ask God, please, I want to have the spiritual experience. I want to be connected. And that's what happens when I do my daily inventory, and I do that in the morning. The difficult thing is for me to live in that connection with my higher power, trusting and relying on him, it or she, whatever the case may be. And when fears that run in the automatic computer of my brain, my brainstem, all those automatic messages, my limbic system saying, alert, 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 the world is falling apart, the world is falling apart. You know, for me to to ask God and say, please, take this away. You know, and I can use my executive brain and say, it's not coming to an end. It's all better. But for some reason, the alert going on in the brain just keeps going. And by the grace of God, I'm not back into bulimia, but I'm eating too much. And I'm not even eating compulsively necessarily, but I'm eating too much, so I'm putting on weight, and that's not good. So I know that something's going to give, and maybe this is normal during a traumatic time in your period, I mean, in your life. So I think I heard time, so I better go. So I just, I don't know what to do other than to rely on God and to continue praying. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Irene B. Danielle P., please share with us, followed by Liz A.
Thank you. This is actually Danielle W., and I am recovered in Southern California. Happy to be here with everybody. You know, when I first started coming to the meetings, I really thought I just had a food problem. You know, I just needed to unlock the right foods at the right time, and everything else would fall into place. And as I started to listen to other people and read literature, I realized that I had a living problem, not just a food problem. And I could really see my life wasn't working in most areas. So I started to pay more attention. People told me I needed to do the steps, get a sponsor. But I remember when I read the steps and listened to the steps, you know, I had a problem accepting that my life was unmanageable. But from that point on, these steps felt really daunting to me. The idea that I was going to be able to accomplish each of these, and especially step 3 and 4 for me, were really felt out of reach. I sort of believed in God, but I didn't really have a relationship. So this idea that I was going to turn everything over to something that I didn't trust or have a relationship with, I didn't think I could do that. And then to follow that up with having to do a fearless moral inventory, you know, life seemed hard enough then to have to really look at myself. And I remember thinking these were so, I couldn't imagine how I was going to get through them. And I remember my sponsor just said, you start with one. These are steps. You don't take them all on at once. You just do one at a time. And what's interesting to me now, those two steps have been the most freeing thing in my life. What I thought was going to be impossible have really made my life so much easier. I don't have to do anything alone anymore. Anything. I don't have to make a single decision alone. I have guidance from something greater than myself. I have power to propel me. I get to turn everything over. It is awesome. It is so awesome. It's like having a best friend that I get to consult with each and every day who I trust, you know, is going to be able to see things more clearly than I am and to give me really good guidance. And as far as the moral inventory, it's actually what I thought was going to be so painful. And it was. There were a lot of things I didn't want to look at. But once you clean that channel out for the first time, this step gets so much easier. We get to do it right away now. I get to keep my channel clean. If I do something where I owe an amends, I can own my part. And it is just so freeing not to carry the burden of shame and guilt anymore. So for anyone that's new, these may feel difficult, but I'm telling you, it is a path to freedom. And I'm excited for your journey. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Danielle W. from California. Liz A., please share with us, followed by Wendy W.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your service and everyone on the line. This is Liz A. from California, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. You know, when I first started, step 3 was, it seemed impossible. I was a self-reliant person. I did not trust God because of things that had happened to me. And there was no way I was turning my will and my life over to the care of something that I didn't know, understand, or even really believe in some ways. So, you know, what happened is I listened to other people, and what I heard was that my will is my thinking, right? And in step two, I realized I was insane. So I'm turning my thinking, and my life was my actions, you know, my actions. So I was going to turn my thinking and my actions over to the care of something which I didn't really understand. But what I knew was that my thinking had to be along the lines of helping others, and my actions had to follow that thinking. So I kept it really simple. And it was just whenever I'm thinking about my fears or whatever's going on, it's like, okay, change the thinking. How can I help someone else? What can I do for someone else? And it just took me out of ego. It was wonderful. And for step four, you know, I at first I thought I had to write this whole autobiography, and that was daunting. It's not. You know, it's these columns. And if you look at the big book, they're very short little explanation. You know, I'm resentful of George. He did this. And then we just look at where was I selfish? You know, where was I dishonest? Where was I in fear? It's really simple. It's not easy because our egos start talking to us and our minds start telling us. Our egos are fighting for survival. And we don't realize that survival is on the other side. And I don't know, I feel like I'm kind of rambling, but it's what helped me turn my thinking and my actions over to something other than me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Liz A. from California. Linda W., now please share with us, followed by Amanda G. Star one, Linda W.
I'm Linda W. from Las Vegas. Wow, it's pretty powerful because I really did. But each time I read this, I'm trusting more. So I am turning my life and my will over to the care of God. I've done it inch by inch, even though I've known there was a God there. And I do believe in God. I always wanted to do it my way, and my way does not work. My way just does not work. And I started to change my thinking over to every time I do something that I think that it's not good, I ask God, which is a big thing for me now, but it's been a long journey. This is not the first time that I've done the steps, and each time I do the steps, I see it in a different way. And as far as making a searching and fearless moral inventory, I've done that several times. The first time wasn't long. The second time was a little shorter, but I still had my own way of thinking about things and couldn't let go. But by the grace of God, God has let me go, and my decision to turn my life and my will over to God, because there's no other way to a freedom, and freedom is God. Thank you. Linda W.
Thank you so much, Linda W. from Nevada. Amanda G., please share with us, followed by Bonnie B.
Hi, this is Amanda G. from New York. Thank you for everyone doing service on the meeting. I've been absent 34 and a half years from the first compulsive bite in OA since 1988. And the third step is very, very important. I have to be abstinent to understand any of these steps. So that's step one. But step three worked for me in various ways. I already believed in God, but my concept of God started to change from being in a 12-step program. And that he was a loving, it was a he. Anyone can characterize their God as he or she wishes, which is the freedom in OA and the third step. So I turned my life and my will over, which meant that I had to stay abstinent to get the enlightenment and to have the relationship first and foremost with a higher power. If I'm eating, I can't find my higher power. There's my life is total chaos, and I gain weight, and my life is horrible. So having the food down was the first thing to receive enlightenment in the third step. And when I went to meetings, I saw women at that time in 88 who had 9 years of abstinence, 17 years of abstinence. They had really worked the program. They had great bodies. I was like, I can lose the weight. I want what they have. And that was part of my higher power showing me in the third step that this program worked. I had to believe in the slogans and in the steps and the big book and other literature of OA. That was all my third step. Now, the fourth step really explained to me in certain terms that don't blame anybody else either for my eating or for my defects of character, which I found in the fourth step. I didn't think I had any defects of character, you know, or to apologize for anything. And the truth came out in the fourth step. And I still go back to the fourth step today because if my life becomes unmanageable, it has to do with me. There's something in me that has to be recognized. And so my higher power leads me in step three to step four, and I put pen to paper. If I have to make amends, I follow through. Step three is the gateway to doing the rest of the steps through 12 in an honest, consistent way. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Amanda G. from New York. And if you're just joining us, we are on page 59. We're talking about step three and step four. And Bonnie B. is going to share with us, followed by Mary Ellen, and then I'm going to open up the line to take more names. Bonnie B., please share.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Don. And thank you for all the powerful shares. Bonnie B., recovered by the grace of God today in Minnesota. I don't know, you know, this to me is such an amazing, divinely inspired program because in order for me to do step three and four, I have to do step one and two. And I can't do step one and two. I mean, I can't do step three without step two and step one. And step three and four is a continual process. So I have to come to terms with the fact that I don't have, my life is unmanageable. I have to believe that there's something bigger than me who can help me. That was challenging for me when I came into the program because I had what I thought was the God of my understanding. I call the God of the Bible. But step three was that turning point for me because it was where I made that decision to turn all of it over to God. Everything that I knew and everything that I didn't know. And this is something I have to do daily. On a daily basis, I pray one, two, and three. And when I pray out three, I pray, God, I offer myself to you, and I physically open the palms of my hands, and I put everything in the palms of my hands that he brings to my remembrance, those things that I tend to close my hands around. I offer them to him. I offer them 100% to him, and then I ask him in that step four to make that, to take inventory for me, to bring to my remembrance those things that are unsettling, or maybe those things that are not what they need to be at this point in my life. And I have to be honest. But if that channel is open, God does bring those things to my heart and to my mind. And then again, I have an option as I move forward. But we understand that this program is, as one person had said, it builds upon itself. Every single step builds upon the next step. And it's the most amazing thing because you can't do the next step without the step before it. But God makes all of that possible as long as we do that on a daily basis. One, two, three, and now we're at step four. It's the greatest gift I've ever been given. Others have mentioned it, and I would completely agree. It's the place of freedom. Step three and step four are that place of freedom for me on a daily basis. And so thank you so much for letting me share. I'm blessed beyond words to be here, and I will pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Mary Ellen F., please share with us.
Hi, this is Mary Ellen from North Dakota, and I'm so happy for you guys that are in warmer weather because it's really been cold here. But I'm new to this program, probably a couple months, and it just has changed my life. I have belonged to so many different weight loss programs. I just, you can't even imagine. And I do it for about a week, and then I quit, and then I gain the weight back, and I go. I have kept a track of my weight for 2 years, and I have fluctuated probably 10 pounds in the last 2-3 years. So, but with this program, I have known the Lord for many, many years. And now with my eating, every time I eat, I think, Lord, help me, help me. And I think about it, and he has really taken over my life and showed me what to eat and what not to eat. And especially I go out a lot and eat with the girls. And so, so many people don't know what I'm doing, because if people know what you're doing, then they look at you and wait to see how much weight you're going to lose. So I don't tell too many people. But this has been a wonderful program, and I always need support. And I have the best sponsor ever. I can't do it without the Lord and a sponsor. So she has just been wonderful. And someday I want to be a sponsor to help somebody else, because that's what this program is, and that's why it's such a good, good program. I just want to say someday that I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I just hope I can do it. But with God's grace and with him on my side, I know I can make it. Thank you for this program. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary Ellen F. from North Dakota. And now I'm going to take the names of people who would like to share on steps 3 and 4. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Michelle F.
Carol A.D.
I heard Michelle F.
Cheryl A.D.
Was that Cheryl B.?
Cheryl A.D.
Cheryl A.D.
Tom L.
Cheryl S.
Tom L.
Clea
Cheryl
and
her
S. Cheryl S. And one more.
Cleaster J.
Who is that, J?
Cleaster.
Cleaster. Okay, very good. I have Michelle F., Cheryl A.D., Tom L., Cheryl S., and Cleaster J. Michelle F., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, thank you for your service, and thank you, everybody on the line. My name's Michelle F., as in Foxtrot, from Central Massachusetts. When I formally took step 3, we did not get on our knees, but we were in the lobby of a drug rehabilitation hospital, and I was self-conscious, but I did it, and I had to say it out loud. And so when I started, I was embarrassed to pray out loud. I can't remember if we held hands or not. I was too busy thinking what other people thought of me. But she made me promise before we even said the third step prayer that I would take other women through the steps the way she was taking me. And that was a commitment that I made. And it was daunting and I was afraid, but I went, whoop, and I said, yes, and we did it. And the fourth step was awful. I have a lot of trauma. I had a lot of anger. I was angry when I was writing the resentments. I was afraid and anxious when writing the fears, and I was ashamed when I was writing the sex inventory. But I did it, and I would just say to anybody who is going to start, make a regular appointment with yourself. It's like working a job. It's like you would for a meal, 1 hour a day, at least 15 minutes a day. When you're going through hell, keep going, as Winston Churchill says, it does end. And then when you finish, I got to tell you, I felt so relieved. And the fifth step was, again, a new level of discomfort. But as long as you say that third step prayer and bring your higher power in with you in this process, you'll make it through. And I've changed. I made my first sponsor my higher power. And over time, I learned that people are human and fallible. And now when I get upset, my first instinct is to reach out to my higher power, to go somewhere quiet, calm down, and pray. And that would not have been possible before steps 3 and 4. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Michelle F. from Massachusetts. Cheryl A.D. followed by Tom L.
Good morning. This is Cheryl A.D. from Ventura, California. Thank you so much, Dawn, for your service and everybody doing service. And welcome to anyone who's new or anyone who is returning. I wanted to say that this reading it's so important because this is the whole crux of everything about this program for me. When I do step 3, that means that I'm turning my will and life over and I'm no longer in charge of my life. I'm no longer in charge. I don't have to struggle. I don't have to obsess. I don't have to try to manage and control, because my purpose now is to say, okay, higher power, whatever it is that I have come to understand is that power that is greater than me, what is your will for me? What is your plan for me? And how can I best carry that out? So this takes a lot of courage to do, because I might have fear about what I'm getting the sense is that it is for me that I need to do. I might have a lot of fear about it. And what really helped me was the strong emphasis that from the beginning that it is so important to connect to that power, whether I understand it or not, and to get access to that power right away when I wake up. Because on my own power, I throw my life I destroy my life on my own power. The other parts of this that really mean a lot to me are decision, which is a conclusion or a resolution reached after consideration. So I've realized and decided in step 1, I can't do this thing. I can't manage my food. And I come to find out I can't manage my life. So what am I going to do now? I've tried and tried. My power isn't working. Well, second step, I come to believe that maybe something else can help me. And this grows more and more and more as I grow this relationship with God. Care, the provision of what is necessary for the health, welfare, maintenance, and protection of someone or something. And I do this in cooperation with my higher power. The AA 12 and 12 says, it is the quality of our faith rather than its quantity that really matters. And that in a lot of cases, we have been asking something for nothing. So if I go out in the rain without a jacket, I'm going to get wet. If I don't put my food, weigh my food, I'm going to get messed up with my food. That's just for me. Not everybody has to do that. If I don't do my prayer and meditation, thank you. I'm going to pass. I don't have that protection. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Cheryl A.D. from California. Tom L., please share, followed by Cheryl S.
Good morning, everyone. This is Tom L. in California, 100-pounder, recovered today, and I'm going to share foolishly today. There's something I read every morning. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they have to offer. I am not a religious person. Far from it. Very scientifically minded, if you can get away with it, nobody finds out, you're good. There's no truth. There's no justice. It's just what people impose on you. That got me to 500 pounds or almost 500 pounds and living a crazy, crazy life. Then I came to OA 20 years ago and I heard, I'm a compulsive overeater. I have a disease. I can get behind that. I have a disease. Don't eat certain foods. Well, that makes sense. If you're sick and you can't, if you're poisoned, some things are poison to you, don't eat them. Fine. And then you will lose weight and, go to a lot of meetings, make a lot of phone calls, be social, which I'm not. And read this book. And then I read the book. And the beauty of this book is that Bill is one of the best salesmen I've ever seen. He puts the important thing first, which is what I just said. I have a disease. And I'm also crazy. I could understand that. I could feel that in my bones. My life does seem like a crazy life. But step three, there's something hidden in this book that it's never spoken of, and yet if you read it, there's no other way to see it. And that word is slave. If you read the third step prayer and you imagine someone handing themselves over into bondage, I can't imagine a master looking, saying, okay, slave, you say this, and then whatever I do, you better do it, because look what you just said. You turned everything over to me. So Bill never uses the word slave. He likes broad highway. Broad highway, which means I can be a crappy slave. And, of course, it means who's the master. And for a non-religious person, now, for religious people, this is no problem. God is the perfect master. There's no fear. Be a slave to a perfect master, it's the best life possible. But for an atheist or someone who doesn't believe in, at least in the God in the Bible, I have to become a slave to something I don't understand. That is terrifying. And I had to do it because I was going to die. And then I realize I am being taken care of. And then I take my will back and I relapse and I gain 100 pounds and I lose everything. And then I come back to OA and I try the food plan. So anyway, I'm out of gas. I'm not making sense. But I need the whole point of this way of life is for me to give up my will every day. And how else can you say that? I need to be a good slave. But fear not, God is good. God is good. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Tom L. from California. Cheryl S., please share with us, followed by Cleaster J.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. from Nevada. And so I was thinking as we were reading this about decisions and what really, really serious life-changing decisions have I made in my life. And the one that comes to mind for me was I decided, my husband and I both decided, to get married in the Catholic Church after we had been married for 10 years civilly. And this was my second marriage. But I made that decision through a lot of consideration. I did classes, we did workshops, we did retreats, and when it was all said and done, we both decided, yes, this is a decision that we want to make, and the consequences are going to be that no matter what, we will be married for the rest of our lives. And the Catholic Church, and that was the God of our understanding at that time. And so we made that vow. We stood before a priest and we made the decision to get married, and we're still married 38 years from now. But I wanted to talk about what freedom that decision has given me. And it's, you know, it hasn't been an easy 38 years. There's been times when I wanted to break that vow. I wanted to change that decision. And the same for my husband. I know he has felt the same way at times over the years. And we have had some whopper fights. But you know what? One day I realized, what is the point of fighting if I'm going to have to stay married to this person for the rest of my life? You know, I can be mad, and I get to choose how long I'm going to be mad. But in the end, I'm either going to have to get over it or I'm going to have to be miserable for the rest of my life. And that gave me so much freedom. And it has helped me to do the steps, you know, helped me to do the fourth step, to let go. I walked in yesterday. He was doing something on the computer. And I wanted to ask him something, and he was frustrated with what he was doing. And he said, I'm in the middle of something. And, you know, my first instinct was to be irritated. And I was, and I turned around, and I walked away. And within 10 minutes, I could have cared less. You know, number one, I know that when he's doing something like that, he's not a good person to, he's not a multitasker. You know, he's very linear. And so my part in that was that I walked in on that knowing that, you know, me standing behind him was going to make him crazy. And so I was able to walk away and let go of it, like it says in the fourth step, and be happy. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Cleaster J., please share with us.
Yes, this is Cleaster. Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, great. First of all, I want to thank those who have shared today and have been a big part of my recovery. And for those people who are new on the line and some of the stuff sounding strange, because I know when I came to OA, I know I was God-led, but I had self-will run riot, which is still part of my recovery that I'm still working on. But I know I came to the meeting and I was the biggest person in the room, and when people were talking, you know, I didn't know about crosstalk, and I was like, well, I'm fat and I'm heavy, but I'm not mentally ill. There's a mental illness speaking. I mean, and I think about these people, they should, you know, but they embraced me. And so those people who are new, and some of it sounds strange, there's people who have been getting recovery. And so I just want to say, stay, keep reading, get a sponsor, because this program works. But anyway, I wanted to speak on step three, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. And I know I have to sometimes personalize the steps for me. And this morning I was going through, and I came in the program, I definitely came in the program to lose weight, I lost weight, but I actually came back to the program and I'm in the program now because of the promises of the program. And I had looked up and, you know, part of, you know, this morning I was kind of praying for direction, but really what I was doing was I was really kind of trying to make a decision based on what this girlfriend said, this person said, da-da-da, what I felt. And it was all kind of, you know, just kind of confusing. And so this morning I said, Lord, give me, you know, give me some direction. And this, you know, when you really, I mean, when you're into this program, and sometimes it's scary almost because I'm asking, maybe hoping to get it, but when it comes so black and white, you know that that's a spirit greater than outside of who you are. And so what came was this verse, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. And I thought, this is what I've been kind of dealing with for the last couple of days, kind of my will and how I'm going to direct it. And I know that is basically part of the surrender process. When I surrender all to God and allow him to work it, it works so much better. So with that, I will pass, and I am just so thankful for this program. I am so thankful that the God that I understand and the God that you understand will work. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Cleaster J. And we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lois P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Dawn, and thank you for your service. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.